The last bracha that we have to discuss in Birchas HaTorah is the bracha of Asher Bachar Banim Bikol Amim. If you have a sitter, we're going to discuss also the bracha itself and also the things that we say afterwards, the pieces of Torah that we say afterwards, and we will try to cover all of that tonight. So if you have a sitter in front of you, it'll probably be easier to follow along. As we said, the last bracha we say the three birchas haTorah is Asher Bracha Banu. The Gemara bracha says that the final bracha is Hama'ulu Sheva Brachos. It is the greatest, the highest, the holiest of the brachos. And the Baal HaMo'or, Rav Zerachya HaLevi, says that this bracha is specifically referring to the learning of Gemara. That's what this bracha is about, the learning of Gemara. And the tour, according to the understanding of the Bach, explains that this is a Shevach. It is a praise to Hashem for giving us His most beloved possession, and that He brought us closer than the other nations at Har Sinai. Asher Bachar Banim Yikol Amim, who chose us amongst other nations. Others explain this is simply a Birchas Hodah. It's simply thanking Hashem for the Torah itself. Rav Yaakov Lorberbaum, the author of the Nesivos HaMishpat, so he writes that it's a reference to the exalted level of Klal Yisrael, the great level of the Jewish people, and that the Torah was a gift for them specifically, to the extent that we can paskin based on our own understanding, and the basin shamal, the courts in heaven, have to follow what we say in this world. That's how great our connection to Torah is, right? When we say when Rosh Chodesh is, so then that's when it's Rosh Chodesh and Shemayim. And when we say this is when Yantiv is, based on our sight of the moon, so that's when Yantiv is, based on us. And that shows how powerfully connected the Jewish people are to the Torah, that even what we say in this world has to be accepted up in the next world in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's based in. Okay, let's explain the two expressions in the bracha. It's not so, again, the bracha is very short. Let's explain the two expressions in the bracha. The first is Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim, V'Natanu Es Toraso. Was the Torah given to Klal Yisrael because Hashem chose them? That's what we're saying, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim. Was the Torah really given to us because we were chosen? I think we're probably all familiar with the Gemara in the beginning of Avodah Zarah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went to all the nations of the earth, to Yishmael, to Esav, the different nations, and asked them if they wanted the Torah for themselves. And what happened? They all rejected Hashem, and they all rejected the Torah. And Klal Yisrael was the only one left, and we had to accept it. It seems that Klal Yisrael chose the Torah, not the other way around. What does it mean, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim? We weren't chosen. We were the last things available. So comes the Eitz Yosef, in the commentary on the Siddur and the Yotzer HaTfilos, and he explains that the Gemara in Avodah Zarah continues, and it says that in the future, when Mashiach comes, the Goyim will complain that Hashem was only Kafa Aleim Har Kigigis, that Hashem only held the mountain and forced the Jewish people to take the Torah, and not them. And therefore, it's not fair that they were not given this ultimatum to take the gift of the Torah, and that's going to be the complaint. That's what we are referring to when we say Asher Bachar Banu, that we were forced at Har Sinai to take the Torah, right? And if not, Sham Yekfur Aschem, this would be our place of burial if we did not take the Torah. The Divrei Shaul, Rav Yosef Shaul Nathanson, adds that this forcing of the Torah on the Jewish people implanted in the Jewish people the ability to be mekabel the Torah and to keep the Torah even in difficult situations. Where do we find, whether it's Inquisitions or Holocausts, all different types of suffering throughout Jewish history, where the Jewish people continued to be makabel the Torah? Where is the source of that? That we took the Torah and we accepted the Torah under the difficult circumstances when Hashem held the mountain above our heads. The Maharal, in his Tiferes Yisrael, in the first chapter of the Tiferes Yisrael, the Maharal explains that when the non-Jews rejected the Torah and the Jewish people accepted the Torah with Na'aseh V'Nishma, it was an indication that the Jewish people were spiritually prepared and that their nature was appropriate for the Torah and its holiness. That there was something about the Jewish people that led us to be able to be chosen to receive the Torah. Therefore, we are saying, says the Maharal, Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Amim, that we were chosen amongst the nations for the natural inclination towards the Torah that Hashem gave to us. It's about us in the sense that there is something within our DNA that connects to the Torah, unlike other nations. Rav Yonason Ibeshitz writes in the Yaros Dvash And he also explains that the Bechira, the chosenness of the Jewish people that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to us, is that Hashem raised us l'malim min hateva, above nature, whereas the nations of the world are subject to nature and mazel and the natural give and flow and the natural cycles of the world. We, the Jewish people, are above that. They cannot connect to the mitzvos. The mitzvos are above us. The mitzvos are come from the heavens. The non-Jewish people can't connect to that. That's not within their DNA. But the Jewish people are above nature, and therefore we can connect to things that are above nature, like the Torah and the mitzvos. It is odd, just a comment about this entire episode, with Hashem choosing the nations, pushing away the nations and not the Jewish people. I think it's, if you look at the story very carefully, it is odd that Hashem made it seem like a fair choice, right? We go, oh, when we're in first grade in kindergarten, right? Does Yishmael want it? No. What's in it? You can't steal. Does Esav want it? No. You can't murder. And it goes through all these different things. And it's very adorable and cute. But let's be honest. You pay attention to what Hashem said. He went to each nation and he picked a thing when they asked what's in the Torah that he knew that those things didn't like. That those nations didn't like, right? Esav, his nation, did a lot of murdering. Yishmael did a lot of stealing. So Hashem, when he was asked what's in the Torah, he told them the things that they have the most difficulty with. That's not really a fair show. It's not really being a good salesman if you wanted to sell the Torah to them. Maybe if Hashem would have gone to Yishmael and Esav and Moab and Ammon and all these different nations, and he would have said to them, do you know what's in the Torah? Shabbos, you see with your family, and the Beis HaMikdash is in the Torah, and Yantif is in the Torah, and Tzedakah is in the Torah. Maybe they would have been more interested in the Torah. But why did he offer them the mitzvos that were so against their nature? Perhaps they would have been drawn in by those mitzvos, right? If Hashem would have taken out a guitar and he said, oh, we'll come, we'll sing, we'll daven, and he could have done a little kiruv, and he could have gotten Yishmael and Esav, Ammon and Moab, into the Torah. But that's not what he did. So I think it's clear from the examples that Hashem gave in that famous Gemara that Hashem had no intention of giving them the Torah. It was not a fair shot. There was no idea from the beginning that he was going to give the Torah to the other nations of the world. Rather, Hashem simply cloaked his plan in this fashion so the non-Jewish people wouldn't pursue the Jewish people later on and take the Torah from them. The entire episode was Asher Bachar Banu Mikol HaAmim. It seemed as if that Hashem was giving a fair shot, but really, it was all a charade in order to get the Torah into the hands of the Jewish people. That is part number one. Then we conclude the bracha. Baruch Atah Hashem, Nosein HaTorah. Blessed is Hashem, who has given us the Torah. In the beginning of the bracha, we say, V'nasa lanu es Torah so, which is past tense, who gave us his Torah. In the end of the bracha, we say, Nosein HaTorah, in the present tense, which seems to raise the question, why are we switching? So comes the Maral in the Nesiv HaTorah in Perek Zayin, and he explains that in the beginning of the bracha, we are reflecting on the events of Maimon Har Sinai, the revelation of Sinai, which was the apex of the revelation of God. And then we add that in every moment afterwards, the giving of the Torah continues according to the level of the Mekabel, according to the level of the person who is receiving it. And Hashem continues to give the Torah to those who learn it at this very moment. When we are learning together at this moment, this is a Kabbalah HaTorah right now. This is a recreation of Maimon Har Sinai. And Hashem is giving us the Torah as we're talking right now. Why is it that Hashem gives the Torah anew to Klal Yisrael every single time? So the Maral says, because if he did not, then the Torah would be forgotten from Klal Yisrael. The Maral explains that this is a Davar Zemavur LeYodim. This is based on deeper ideas of Kabbalah or the secret Sodos HaTorah. I'm not sure why, for whatever reason it is, but it's necessary for Hashem to give us the Torah at every moment. In the footnotes to the Rabbi Yeshua Hartman's edition of the Maral, so Rabbi Hartman explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give Ruchnius and Torah to every single Jew. He wants every single Jew to be able to connect to spirituality. The question is how much we want it and how much we want to limit ourselves. How much are we willing to connect to spirituality and to remove physicality from our lives. The Torah is there for us to take us. Asher bachar mikol amim, and then we say, no sein haTorah. Hashem is ready today, on this day at this time, Erev Shiva Sarvatamas, or now right now it is Shiva Sarvatamas, to give us the Torah, to be no sein haTorah, but the question is, how much do we want it? If we're interested and we open ourselves up to spirituality and to higher things and to higher planes, then Hashem's willing to give us whatever we want. But we have to open ourselves up to it, because the giving is going on every single second. We just have to be there to catch it. The Torah Chaim Bav Metzia says that Nosen HaTorah refers to the Shefa, the flow coming from a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And the Taz explains that when we learn Torah every day, Hashem reveals to us new reasons, new insights that perhaps we did not know before. We'll just end this piece with a comment of the Chassam Sofer in Ksuvas Mem Beis. I brought it in the sheet. Put it again over there on the chat for those who missed it. But let's look at the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says, Al pi da amru b'inyan birchas haTorah shemavarchin pam. First we say, Asher nasan lanu lashon avar, past tense. Upam, and then we say, Baruch nosin haTorah lashon hove, present tense. Dilashon avar kai aguf haTorah. The past tense is going on the Torah itself, the hilchoseha, and the laws, shenamru mehakadosh baruch hu l'moshe misinai, that were said by Hashem and Har Sinai. Va'osa nesiyama kvar el chalaf avar. That event of Har Sinai is old news. That's done and gone. That's what we're referring to in the first part of the bracha. Masha'en ke no sein, however, now, hukai acharifus v'chedushe Torah, it's talking about new ideas in Torah, novel understanding of the Torah, Masha Talmud Vasik Mechadesh, that which students of the Torah come up with their own insights, Betuvo B'chol Yom, with Hashem's goodness every day, Tamid V'HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mashpia Lo Shem and Sason, Hashem gives us all these wonderful connections to the Torah, V'al Zem Mevarchin Nosen HaTorah. As the Chassam Sofer says, the end of the bracha, Nosen HaTorah, is referring to now. Each person's individual connection, insight, understanding of the Torah in the present tense. Okay, so those are Birchas HaTorah. We've covered them. Let's move on now. We'll try to do this all in one sitting. Let's move on to discuss the things that we learn after Birchas HaTorah. Why are they there? What purpose are they coming to fulfill? And what should we be getting out of those things? Okay, we all know what we're referring to. The Birchas Kohanim, Elu Devarim, things like that. So what are we doing over here? So there is a Tosus in Brachos Daf Yud Aleph, which is the same daf which discusses Birchas HaTorah, and Tosus cites a Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi in Brachos says that you should learn right after reciting Birchas HaTorah. The second you say Birchas HaTorah, you should learn some Torah. So Tosus explains that according to the Talmud Bavli, that we usually learn, there's no reason to learn after reciting Birchas HaTorah, and it's not like other Birchas HaMitzvos, where there's an Isser, a prohibition, to make a Hefsek, a break, between the Bracha and the Mitzvah. Because Birchas HaTorah is covering the entire learning of the day. It's not on one event. So Tosfos writes, the Shiny Torah, Torah is different. We never take our minds off of Torah, that we need to make a new Bracha during the day. Tichsiv, as it says, you learn Torah day and night. The whole day you are connected to Torah, because whenever you have a free moment, you got to get back to learning. And therefore, the Talmud Bavli understands, according to Tosos, it's not you make Birchas HaTorah on this piece of Torah you're going to learn. It goes on the mitzvah of Torah that surrounds us all day. However, Tosos then cites the minhag of the Tsarfatim, the French, of the French rabbis, to be machmer for the Yerushalmi, for this statement, and to learn after Birchas HaTorah. And therefore, says Tosos, we have the minhag of reciting Psukim, Birchas Kohanim, Elu Dvarim Shein Lehem Shiur, that section from the Mishnah in Peah, the first Mishnah in Peah, and the section of Elu Dvarim Sha'adam Ochel Peruseyam, the things at which we have merit in this world and the next world, which seems to be similar to a Gemara in Shabbos Kochav Zayin, but we'll get back to that later on. Now, why do we need Psukim, Mishnah, and Gemara? What's the point of that? Well, that's because on the same Gemara in Brachos Daf Yud Aleph, there's a machlokas about which type of learning needs Birchas HaTorah. Does any type of learning Birchas HaTorah? If I learn Gemara, does that need Birchas HaTorah? If I learn Psukim, does that need Birchas HaTorah? If I learn Musar, does that eat Birchas HaTorah beforehand? So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna said, L'mikra tzarech levarech. When you learn psukim, you have to make a Birchas HaTorah. Ula medrash, but when it comes to Torah Sheba'al Peh on psukim, ain tzarech levarech, you don't have to make a Birchas HaTorah. Ula Rabbi Eliezer, Amar, L'mikra ula medrash tzarech levarech, on psukim and Torah Sheba'al Peh, the explanation of the psukim, you need to make a bracha. But l'mishnah, if you learn mishnayos, ain sarach levarach hidara to make a birchas haTorah. Rav Yochanan, Amar Rav Yochanan says, Amar af l'mishnah, you even have to make a birchas haTorah when you learn mishnah. Namid sarach levarach. Aval l'talmud, if you learn gemara, the explanations of the mishnah, ain sarach levarach. V'rava Amar af l'talmud sarach levarach, you have to make a birchas haTorah on everything. And therefore, to fulfill the mitzvahs of limud haTorah, we use psukim, we use Mishnah, and we use Talmud at the end there. We cover all three types of learning. Therefore, the reason why we choose those three things are to reflect that our Birchas HaTorah covers all three aspects of Talmud Torah, Psukim, Mishnah, and Talmud. The Kleisenberger Rebbe pointed out that when reciting the paragraph of Elu Dvarim, you must understand the meaning of the words, because it's not considered learning Torah Sheba'al Peh unless you understand the words that you're saying. And that's important to know, right? If you learn a Rashi and you don't understand the Rashi, there's no fulfillment of Talmud Torah. If you read Tehillim or you read Psukim in a Chumash or a Navi or a Ksuvim and you read the words but you don't understand them, you still get a schar for Talmud Torah. And therefore, if there's no Kiyum of Talmud Torah, if you don't understand the Torah Sheba'al Peh you're learning, then it might be unnecessary to make a Birchas HaTorah. So, if you don't understand the paragraph of Elu Dvarim and the Mishnah and Peah, you got to understand, you either got to say it in English to make sure you understand what's going on. Now, is this what was always done? Well, before getting into the reasons for each of these three pieces, which we'll discuss in a moment, specifically why we chose these Psukim, these Mishnayos, this Gemara, we should note that there were different Minhagim regarding the Seder HaLimud to be recited after Birchas HaTorah. In the Chuas of Natrunai Gon, one of the great Talmid Chacham of the period of the Gonim, in the Chuas in Orach Chaim Siman Tes, he says that they would recite something different, but probably familiar to some people here. They would recite the Parsha of the Korban Tamid, Tzavos B'nei Yisrael Ve'amar Talayhem. They would recite the Mishnayos of Ezehu Mekoman, which are put in our Seder by Korbanos, which describe the Korbanos to the base of Mikdash, and they recite the Braisa of Rabbi Shmuel Omer, which we also have in our Seder before we begin Psukei Zimra. So we see that those things also made it into our Seder, just not necessary for the purpose of being recited after Birchas HaTorah. This would be Lekayim, as he says, Divrei Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yosef Barav, to follow all the opinions in the Gemara. This order is brought in the Siddur of Rav Amram Gon and the Avudraham, yet at this time they had already added in Birchas Kohanim before the Parsha Satamid. The reason Ezer Mekuman was used, why do we just, does anybody show of hands, whoever has a video, does anybody recite Ezer Mekuman in the morning by Korbanos? No. I know most people don't. But it's certainly, if you have the time, it's certainly something good to do. But the reason why it's used, according to the Avudraham, is because this parak of Mishnayos is the only Mishnayos in Shas, only chapter, I think, in Shas, except for maybe Pirkei Avos, that doesn't have machlokas at all. Everybody's on the same page, and it organizes all the korbanos. Some people say it goes back to Moshe Rabbeinu, these Mishnayos. The Rambam in his Siddur has the Parsha of the Korban Tamid, which we should also be saying, but we're not going to talk about korbanos now. Followed by Birchas Kohanim, and then he brings Elu Dvarim. Okay, but that's not an arsidram. Let's go into one more reason for these things, and then we're going to get into all each one on its own. We also recite the Parsha of the Korban Tamid, and Ezehu Mekuman, and the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel, but we say them for different reasons, as we said. The Gemara in Kedushin Daf Lamed tells us, Amar Rav Safra Mishum Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Rav Safra said the name Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. My dichsiv, what does it mean when it says, Vishinantam levanacha, you should teach your children. Al tikri vishinantam, don't read, you should teach them. Ella, Vishilashtem. There's a making a drasha here. Rather, you should divide into thirds. La'olam yishalash adam shnosav shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, v'shlish b'tam. And a person should divide the learning of his life into three sections. A third of your life learning psukim, Tanakh, a third of your life learning Mishnais, a third of your life learning Gemara. So says the Gemara, mi yodea kamachai. How am I supposed to know how long I'm going to live? To me, or to make that decision? So the Gemara says, lo, shrichlin, what I mean is the day. Your day of learning should be divided into a little bit of Chumash, a little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Gemara. So Tosus there in Kedushin explains, v'nirli lafarish, b'chol yom v'yom asmo, yishalesh, alkein tikein b'seder of Amram Gon. Therefore, in the Siddur of Rav Amram Gon, k'mushanu nogim b'chol yom, before Pesukah Zimra, lomar mikra, Mishnah, Gemara, we make sure to say mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara. This limud is not connected to Birchas HaTorah, but it's in order to fulfill the idea of learning a piece of Mikra, Mishnah, and Gemara each day. This was established to be learned before davening. The Avudraham seems to imply that they did not say the Mishnah of Elu Dvarim, and instead the three sections were the Parsha of the Korban Tamid, Ezra Mekorban, and the Brice of Rabbi Shmuel. This would fulfill the opinions for Birchas HaTorah. Again, we see there was different Minhagim in the history of Klal Yisrael. This, in fact, in the Shita Mekubetas in Nedarim and Daf Pei Aleph, he says this as well, very clearly. Okay, however, the minhag Ashkenaz, and we'll come back to Halacha L'maaseh for us, is to separate the two topics. We learn each Seder on its own. The Siddur Seleucid Avram explains that we don't use the Parshas Tamid and Ezer Mekumen for Birchas HaTorah, because sometimes we recite Birchas HaTorah before Alos HaShachar, and you can't recite Karbanos. There's no mitzvah of Karbanos before Alos HaShachar, and therefore we use other Pesukim and Mishnayos, and we'll discuss the minhag of Ashkenaz to use Birchas Kohanim and the first Mishnah in Peah and Elu Dvarim. Let's turn now to Birchas Kohanim. Why did we choose Birchas Kohanim as the Psukim to learn after Birchas HaTorah? The Avudraham says that the reason why Birchas Kohanim are used is for this limud, for this learning, is to mention the brachos of Klal Yisrael before the Korban Tamid. Look at all the blessings the Jewish people get. The Beis Yosef says, and he elaborates, that the Anshei Mishmar, there was always a group of Jews who were learning Torah next to the Beis HaMikdash, representing the Jewish people while the korbanos are being offered on our behalf in the Beis HaMikdash. This is called the Anshei Mishmar, the people of the watch. And they would recite Birchas Kohanim every morning, as Tosas and Bracha says. And this is also mentioned in the Kolbo, who connects the Korban Tamid to the Beis HaMikdash, to the recitation of Birchas Kohanim. After the Avodah, the Beis HaMikdash was, they recited Birchas Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, since this is all about the morning and the Beis HaMikdash, we recite Birchas Kohanim. That's approach number one. The Mata Moshe, the Talmud of the Marashal, and the Sefer HaManig say that the Birchas HaTorah contains 60 letters corresponding to the 60 Masechtos in Torah Shebaal Peh, the 60 Masechtos in Shas. That's reason number two. And reason number three is brought by the Mishnah Berurah, who cites the Eliyahu Rabba, who's citing the Divrei Chamudos, who explains that the Gemara in Megillah Chav Gimel says that an Aliyah cannot be less than three psukim, and therefore we use three psukim of Birchas Kohanim because they contain bracha. But the whole point is we want to have three psukim to represent the idea of an Aliyah not being less than three psukim, and that's why we use this. Now, if you daven Nusach Svard, so they had the psukim of Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Daber L'Aron. They also had the psukim of V'samu Hashemi. It's clear from the Divrei Chamudos that the minhag was only have three psukim. The minhag of Nusach Svar is a much later minhag. It does not seem to be correct according to the Rishonim, but whatever it may be, the Nusach Ashkenaz is just a Berachas Kohanim. The next section we say is the Mishnah of Elu Dvarim. Elu Dvarim Shein Lem Shior, right? Hapea Vebikurim Varayon. Why do we choose this? Well, one reason brought is that it's the first Mishnah in Peah, because it mentions the greatness of Talmud Torah, and that nothing else is comparable, and that you benefit from this world and the next. If this is a Birchas HaTorah, why not use a piece of Mishnayos to talk about the importance of Talmud Torah? There's a beautiful piece in the Be'er Moshe, the Be'er Moshe, the Rebbe of Ostrovtsa. He has a very, very large commentary on Chumash called the Be'er Moshe. This is in Dvarim. I think it's in 13 volumes. This is Dvarim Chelek Aleph on page Reish Chaf Beis. In the Be'er Moshe, he adds that we want to show that Torah and Chesed are integral with one another. This concept of Torah's Chesed is clear because we talk about Ugemilas Chesedim and Talmud Torah. And therefore we choose this mission to highlight the interconnectedness of Torah and Chesed. I would tell you to go look there in his essay at length. The essay is very beautiful about the connection between Torah and Chesed, but he explains this is why we use this paragraph, to connect Torah to Chesed. The last reason is, I'm not sure if this is a good reason, this is a reason I think may be correct, is based on a comment of the Me'iri. The Me'iri has an introduction to Gemara in his introduction on Maseches Brachos. And the Me'iri says, Rav Menachem Me'iri, the Me'iri's commentary we only had in fragments for many, many generations. It was only rediscovered in full after the discovery of the Cairo Geniza and printed to be learnt in full in the last few decades. There's a controversy around that. Should we learn, should we paskin halacha from a sefer that we did not have a Masorah for so many centuries? But nevertheless, we still learn the Me'iri and we take ideas out of the Me'iri, even though we might not paskin like the Me'iri. He says that in his time, the minag was that Maseches Brachos was placed in Seder Moed. Right, if you open, go up to the shelf right now, and you look at a standard set of Mishnayos, you'll see that the first Maseches and Shas is Brachos, and that's in Seder Zrayim, which deals with the agricultural mitzvahs of the land of Israel. The Me'iri says in his day, Maseches Brachos was placed in Seder Moed. Seder Moed comes after Seder Zrayim. And therefore, it could be that the first Mishnah in Peah was the first Mishnah in Shas. And therefore, that's why they chose this Mishnah. Because in the Me'iri's time, or in somebody's time period, the first Mishnah in Shas was the first Mishnah in Peah. And the Shiboli Aleket cites the meaning of learning the Mishnah of Me'emesai Korin at Shema Ba'arvis, which is the Mishnah that we have in our first Mishnah in Brachos, because the first Mishnah in Shas. And this would support this theory as well. Okay. Let's turn now to the last of the three sections that we learned, and that is the Brais of Elu Dvarim. The paragraph of Talmud seems to be a mix of different parts of Shas. Well, let's read the continuation of the Mishnah in Peah. The Mishnah in Peah says, Elu Dvarim Sh'adam Ochel Peroseim Be'olam Hazeh. These are things that a people eat their fruit, meaning they get benefit from in this world. Vakeren Kayemes Lo Le'olam Haba. And they also accrue benefit in the next world. Kibra ve'eim, gemilas chasadim, hava shalom beinanu l'chavero, the Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Now, that's not what we say in the morning, but it is similar. It's more similar to this Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Chav Zayin. Amar Rav Yehuda Bar Shila, Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan. Shisha dvarim adam ochel peroseim olam hazeh. Six things a person gets benefit in this world. Vakaren kayamas olam haba, and he accrues benefit in the next world. Ve'iluhein, Hachnasas Orchim, Bikracholim, Ion Tfila, Hashkamas Beis HaMedrash, V'megadol Banav L'Talmud Torah, you raise a child to Talmud Torah, V'adan Eschavero L'Kafzachos. This is actually the Daf Yomi coming up in a few days. And you're Dan Eschavero L'Kafzachos, to give somebody the benefit of the doubt. Our Siddur is different in a few ways. One is that we include Hachnasas Kala and Levayas HaMeis, escorting the dead, which is not mentioned before. It's mentioned a few places of Shas, but it's not mentioned in the two places we cited. And in addition, we add four things that are Maseches Peah. We leave out V'amegadzal Banav L'Talmud Torah, to raise a child to Talmud Torah, and being Danas Chaver L'Kav Sechus. This gives us a total of 10 items. In the morning, after Birchas Hashanah, we talk about 10 things. The Tshuvas of the Maharam Shik in Simon Beis says that maybe Megadol Banav LaTorah, raising your child to Torah, is already included in Talmud Torah, and being Dan L'Kav Zechus is included in bringing Shalom between two people. He explains why we add Hachnasas Kala. So the Maharam Shik says maybe we can kind of fit together how all those different pieces of Torah Shebaal Peah kind of come to this understanding. Tosus in Brachos says that the entire piece is called a Braisa. Now, what's a Braisa? A Braisa is the piece of Torah Shebaal Peh that didn't make it into the Mishnayos. Right? The word bara, bar, means outside in Aramaic. So a Braisa means an outsider, something that didn't make it into the Mishnayos. It's a form of Talmud. However, the statement in Masechah Shabbos comes from Amorayim, which is Gemara, which is later than the Tanaim. And it's not really a piece of Braisa. Braisa is only from a Tana. Gemara is from an Amora. So it's unclear why Tosus calls this a Braisa. Maybe they had a Gemara we didn't have. I'm more comfortable with the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah, when he refers to this in Siman Mem Zayin, he simply calls it a Memra. A Memra means a statement. It's a piece of Torah Shebaal Peh. We don't know where it's from. We don't know who said it. But we have this Memra, the statement that we say. Okay. Let's just conclude with an explanation of this expression, Ochlim Peroseim Ba'olam Hazeh, that we consume its fruit in this world. The source that the things in the Mishnah are rewarded in this world and the next world is the Gemara in Kedushin Daf Mem. Let's learn that Gemara together. B'kibud av ve'eim ksiv. It says by kibud av ve'eim, l'man yarichun yamecha u'l'man yitavlach. That's clear. We're rewarded for a long life in this world and the next world. Gemilas chasadim, it says, rodef tzedakah v'chesed yimtza chayim tzedakah v'kavod. If you pursue chesed, you'll find life. Okay, right? This world and the next. This world, you'll have life. The avas shalom, when it comes to bringing shalom, it says, bakeh shalom v'rodfehu, that you will pursue shalom and you will be pursued, you will have life. Amar v'bao, asi redifa, redifa ksiv, it says over here, bakeh shalom v'rodfehu, it says over here, you'll pursue shalom. And it says over there, there's a connection between life and shalom. And Talmud Torah says, Ki uchayach v'rachamecha, the Torah is your life, it is your day. So we have many sources indicate that you get benefit for these things in this world. The Gemara discusses why Shulach HaKan is not mentioned as well. It's interesting to note that whenever chesed or tzedakah is mentioned in the Torah, there's always an additional promise of Yivarechecha Hashem Elokecha. There's always blessing for somebody who keeps chesed and tzedakah. So Yishalmi and Peah that says this much as well. But I just want to end with the Rambam. If you look in the Rambam's commentary on this Mishnah in Peah, he explains that if we do mitzos bein adam lamakom, if we serve Hashem, then Hashem will reward us in Olam Haba. Right? Hashem is eternal. Hashem is kulo ruchani, spiritual. So the reward will be in the next world. However, when we do mitzos bein adam lechavero, says the Rambam, first of all, we're rewarded in Olam Haba for doing the Ratzon Hashem. If you give tzedakah, if you help an old lady cross the street, if you are kind to another person, then you'll be rewarded in Olam Haba because you did the Ratzon Hashem. However, says the Rambam, there's also a benefit in this world because if each one of us are generous and each one of us are kind to one another, and we work on an expression that we'll be hearing a lot in the coming days, our avas chinam, and we remove from ourselves our sinas chinam, we will simply make the world a better place. And we will all benefit. And Olam Hazeh will be a much nicer place for all of humanity. And that, says the Rambam, was it means that Ochlim Peroseim Olam Hazeh. It doesn't mean, says the Rambam, that if you do all these things, Hashem's going to give you a nicer life, or you'll get extra reward in this world. No, says the Rambam. What it means is, when you are nice to other people, you are planting seeds that you will reap the benefit of later on. It makes Olam Hazeh, this, a better world when we're nice to one another. There's no magical segula or magical promise that comes that you're going to have a better life from Hashem just because you do chesed in this world. What the Mishnah means, says the Rambam, is by being nice and being kind, you'll make the entire world a better place and it'll become a much wonderful Olam Hazeh for the rest of Klal Yisrael and the entire world. Okay, we will stop here. We'll continue Bezras Hashem next week.